Live from our studios in Ruidoso, New Mexico, this is New Mexico in the Morning with Tim Keithley.
What a treat we've got for you today. Now, this is, in my view, funniest man to ever walk the face of the earth. Oh, Rich Little. Hello, Rich Little.
Do I look funny?
Well, you sound funny anyway.
Well, that's very nice of you to say, but I don't know about funniest of all time.
Well, I don't know. I remember in third grade, you were my hero.
Third grade?
Back in elementary school. I'm not trying to age you there, Mr. Little.
Oh, that's all right.
We've got Rich Little in the studio. Rich, how come you're in town?
Well, I'm doing a show at the Spencer Theater. This is the premiere right here.
What will the play be about?
Jimmy Stewart.
Your old friend.
Yeah, it's called Jimmy Stewart. I think we're changing it from here on to Conversations with Jimmy Stewart. Sounds like a better title. But they're conversations I had with him for many, many years. I used to, when I talked to him, because I was such a big hero of his, and I would go home and scribble down what we talked about. So I had practically this book written before I thought of doing the show. Just from stories coming from him.
Great. Now, will the play be accompanied with a book?
Oh, no.
But you have written the play.
I've written the play, yeah.
And this will be the inaugural appearance of it in Ruidoso. Well, why did you just pick Spencer Theater Ruidoso to start all out?
You know, I wanted to go somewhere to try it out where if it didn't work, nobody would hear about it.
Tell us
is that a put down? I don't know.
No, not at all. Not at all. We say lovingly about the Spencer Theater, it's the world's greatest theater that you have to drive over a cattle guard to get there.
That's right. Drive through two casinos to get here.
But it is a beautiful theater, and you picked the right one.
Yeah.
I understand you had a little trouble finding Ruidoso?
Yes. It took... From El Paso, it took us about 4 hours and 20 minutes.
4 hours?
Yeah.
You must have turned left and right and went there.
I think we were outside Seattle at one point. and we stopped for gas on the way up. Older gentleman came out. He said, hey, fill it up for you. And he said, oh, that's nice. He said, wait a minute. I recognize you. Are you somebody important? And I said, not really. He said, you look like that actor. I know who you are. I'm one of my favorites. I said, well, thank you. Richard Klein. Then other people say, you look like Richard Nixon. And when they do that, I always say to them, I don't know what makes you think that. I am not a crook. I am a comedian.
Well, you know, you do look like Richard Nixon.
Well... on a bad day.
One of the first questions I thought to ask you this morning, have you perfected President Obama?
That's the key to doing him. When he's off the teleprompter, which he usually is, because the teleprompter, I think, is a Republican, keeps breaking down, everything is up.
I think the biggest problems facing America today are the economy and conservation. I proposed to Congress just the other day two conservation bills. The first one concerns gas. The second one concerns water. Now, if Congress doesn't pass gas, if Congress doesn't pass water, I screwed that up. Then they pass gas.
Is he harder to do than...
See, the joke was great. The impression was so-so, and I screwed up the joke.
Is he harder to do than, say, Bill Clinton?
Oh, yeah. Almost anybody can do Bill Clinton. You just have to... You know, you just have to get that frog in your throat to do a Bill Clinton. I think it's Kermit the Frog, I think, is living in
in his throat.
Rich Little is our guest this morning. 258-KRUI, 1-877-396-W105. Kathleen McDonald is gracious enough to bring Mr. Little because he may ended up down in Alamogordo with this trouble getting to Rio Doso. I'm glad you drove him to the radio station, Kathleen.
Yeah, and it's only 30 feet.
And there'll be two performances of Rich Little coming this fall to the Spencer Theater.
Yeah, he kicks off our winter season 2009-2010. We are so honored to have a star of this caliber. He truly is an icon. He's a master comic, as you know. And he just he's the master impersonator, the greatest one in the history of our, you know, in the world. And he can do over 200 voices. I think this particular show, which Mr. Little has been working on for a couple of years as a tribute, truly, to his dear friend Jimmy Stewart, incorporates 24 or 25 voices. It is such an honor to be the premier site for it. It's the 25th and 26th of September that this show will debut, and we expect a lot of national attention for that.
All right, 336-4800 to learn more about that. Rich Little goes back into the 70s, and I think of all of those voices that I've heard, and all those Dean Martin roasts. I don't think there's anyone living today that knows and has known more of Hollywood royalty than you, Mr. Little.
Well, I was lucky, you know, to get on those Dean Martin roasts. I was just in my 20s, and I was on there with icons. You know, Jack Benny and George Burns and John Wayne and Orson Welles and Lucille Ball and all these great, great stars. And there I was, you know, young Canadian kid, and scared out of my wits because I thought, I'm going to bomb in front of not only the television people watching,
but all this Hollywood royalty.
All this royalty, going to look down and say, gosh, who invited him on the show? But I've always been fortunate in that I'm not a comedian to say I stand up and tell jokes. I have the impression to do. And sometimes when the joke is not really that funny, the impression will help it. Because as soon as you do a bang-on impression, people applaud. You know, so one helps the other, but it's really better to be doing good impressions than be a good comic.
How'd you get from Canada to Hollywood?
I drove.
Hopefully took you as long.
No, I got on the Judy Garland show. I did the Jimmy Dean show and variety show in New York. Uh-huh. And then right after that I got booked on the Judy Garland show in Hollywood at CBS, and I got booked on by Mel Torme, that great singer of the 40s and 50s. Mm-hmm. Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. And bless him. And also two Canadian writers who knew me in Canada were writing for the Garland show. And between those writers and Mel Torme, I got on the Judy Garland show.
And that's how it all started.
It all started. Judy didn't really want me at first. She said, I don't like impersonators. And they went, oh, well, I guess that takes care of that. Well, can you hear the tape, Judy? Because he does people that nobody else does. He does Fred McMurray, and he does, you know, all these William Holden and Glenn Ford and all these voices that have never been done before. She said, I'll listen to it, but I'm not thrilled. And then she heard on the tape me doing James Mason, and she had just made A Star Is Born with James Mason, and she loved James Mason. She adored this man. And, of course, when I started to do my James Mason impression, listen to me, Esther, a career is a curious thing. Talent isn't always enough. You need a sense of timing. And I, for seeing the turning point, or recognizing the big chance when it comes along and grabbing it. And when I did that, she went, oh, my God, book him on the show.
All right, 258-KRUI, 1-877-396-W105. Gabriel wants you to do Howard Cosell, Mr. Little.
Howard Cosell. You know, Howard Cosell once said to me, true story, Rich Little, do you realize, if you could talk in my voice 24 hours a day, there's no degree to greatness you could not obtain in the world of show business. I said, Howard, you're full of you-know-what. Perhaps I am, but what can I do about it? I'm a superstar. The ego of the man was incredible, but I did enjoy him. He was fascinating. Even when he got pompous, he still had me on the floor.
And your ability to make light had to have befriended all of these stars.
Yeah, that's one of the great parts of my career, is to have known so many of these stars. And I remember Howard Cosell coming backstage. I was at the MGM Grand appearing there. And he had just finished being the announcer in New York for a Frank Sinatra record called The Champ, I think, is returned to show business. And Howard was the announcer. So he came right from New York to see me. And he came up the stairs singing New York, New York, and drove us all crazy. New York, New York, those vagabond shoes are longing to strike right through the heart of it. And he went on and on and on. Finally, everybody said, Howard, would you please leave? We're sick of this song. And he went to see my co-star down the hall. And about 20 minutes later, I'm going down the elevator to do my show. And I hear down below, and if you can make it, you can make it anywhere. And he's doing all Frank's moves and everything. It was hysterical to see Howard Cosell doing Frank Sinatra. What a character.
All right, Rich Little appears at Spencer Theater September 25th and 26th, 2 8 o'clock shows. And you can telephone now. I'll give you the 800 number, 888-818-7872. Jack Benny was one of the greatest of all time because he didn't have television.
Well, Jack Benny was a dear. He really was. And he wasn't really cheap, as people say, in real life. Everybody says that I'm cheap. It's not true. I'm not that cheap. And he wasn't. He was quite generous, although I do remember seeing him at 4 o'clock in the morning at the Sands Hotel playing the nickel machine by himself. I said, Jack, how long are you going to be here? Until my string breaks. You know.
George Burns and Gracie.
Yeah, George was sad. Yeah, George was great. He said, you know, you do me so good that I should be paying you because you're doing all the advertising for me. You're keeping me alive, kid.
Said, this is so cool to have you here and listen to all these voices of our childhood. Edith Bunker. Jan, you do the
great. I just came from the toilet. Oh, jeez, Eric, what are you trying to say here? I looked down into the toilet bowl and I couldn't believe it. There were 4 quarters in there, 3 dimes, 2 nickels, and a penny in the bowl. Well, what does it mean? Ah, oh, come on, Eric, if it doesn't mean anything. Jeez, you're just going through the change.
258 KRUI 1-877-396-W105. Rich Little is in studio and will appear September 25 and 26.
And if we do well, we're going to add another show.
Well, I think you should just plan on it now because the phone lines are going to light up for a chance see Rich Little.
I should tell them what the show was really all about, shouldn't I?
Go right ahead.
I was talking to Jimmy all those years and keeping notes and having a lot of stories, you know, in my possession. And then I put the show together, and I thought, you know, is this going to be 2 hours of just talk about his movies? That could be boring, because when I was asked to do the George Burns show, I thought it was boring. 2 hours of talking. Hal Holbrook can pull it off, but 2 hours of talking, and your mind wanders a bit. So I said, I've got to turn this into a comedy, really. Jimmy Stewart is not a comedian, but a lot of funny things happen in his life. And then I got the idea of putting all these voices in that are pre-recorded of people he worked with. And you hear them through the whole show. His father, Gary Cooper, John Wayne. I talk on the phone to Ronald Reagan. I talk on the phone to George Burns, Alfred Hitchcock. And so, in the course of an hour and a half, You know, I tell my life story, but you hear all these voices, and some really obscure ones too. If you were a big movie buff, there were people like in this, like Walter Pidgeon. I do. People say Walter Pidgeon. Who's that? Lionel Barrymore from It's a Wonderful Life, and Clark Gable, of course. You know,
is it your view that It's a Wonderful Life with Jimmy Stewart, probably the all-time greatest film?
Oh yeah. I think the three best movies Jimmy ever made. It's, you know, all personal, of course. I would say It's a Wonderful Life, and then probably Shenandoah, and Anatomy of a Murder. Maybe Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. Those are great films for him.
And I see a bunny on the cover of the Spencer Theater.
Yeah, that's my wife dressed up in a bunny outfit.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I wouldn't have known that.
No, I wouldn't either. It was a good day for her. that is so cute, isn't it? See, Harvey's in the show, but for Harvey really is invisible. So we open the show, and Jimmy won't start the show until Harvey gets there. And we've got a seat, you know, kept for Harvey. Finally, Harvey arrives. We have to tell people to stand up so he can get to his seat. and then we start the show. Harvey, are you comfortable? Oh, good. Any carrot juice or anything? No, you're fine. Wow, I'm just going to tell these nice people about my career. Have you got a second?
And what would a conversation between Jimmy Stewart and John Wayne sound like?
Well, Jim, Pappy wants you to do another one, mister. Now, Pappy, if you know movies, is John Ford. They called him Pappy. So, Pappy wants you to do another one. And Jimmy says, don't tell me. A Western, right? You guessed it, Pilgrim. Well, why didn't he call me himself? Well, you know what he's like. Wanted me to test the water. Okay. Well, what is it? The man who shot Liberty Valance. Uh-huh. And he wants me to play Liberty Valance. No, Lee Marvin's playing that part. Well, I'm the man who shoots Liberty Valance? Well, no, not exactly. I do, but you think you did. Are there any rabbits in this picture? You know, I mean, that's the kind of conversation we have, which ties into truth. I mean, this conversation probably never happened, but it could have very easily, because John Ford would never go directly to a star. He would go through the back door, you know? And John Wayne and Jimmy were great friends. They made, what, two pictures together, The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance, and then later The Shootist, which was a marvelous movie. You know? But I have other people jumping in and talking about Jim, you know? Like Clark Gable says, "Kid, less is more. On the stage, your voice is your instrument. But in the movies, it's the microphone."
Now, you obviously are talking to Broadway after
Spencer
Theater. I mean, this would just be an incredible performance.
Yeah.
Already, can't wait to see it. September 25th and 26th at the Spencer Theater. Rich Little is in the studio.
Well, if it doesn't do well, you know, we'll just leave it here.
Well, I can't imagine that even remotely a possibility.
Well,
Mr. Little, with
history. You never know, do you?
Yeah.
Yeah, the only thing that worries me a little bit about the show is that, you know, Jimmy Stewart's been gone now for a bit, but he's an icon. He was voted the third greatest movie star of all time, you know. But I think if you're 12 or 15 years old and you go, it could be a bit of a problem. You might know Reagan and you might know a couple of the voices, but it basically is for older people.
Well, you know, I'm middle-aged and I know all of those voices because you brought them to our life.
You mean you're 39?
And growing. And I wanted to ask you how you got in. I understand it was that you didn't necessarily care for schoolwork, and so you used to make fun of your teachers.
I used to imitate my teachers. When they would ask me a question in class, I would answer them in their voice. Now, usually it was the wrong answer. Now, does the teacher want to hear the wrong answer in their voice? No way. So they never asked me anything. And I stayed at the back of the class, and they were afraid of me. And I think I majored in recess.
The late night shows now that Leno is going to primetime. I mean, that's how you became a superstar. I would, from the pictures of the Johnny Carson show.
Johnny Carson? Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. Johnny was the best. There was nobody better than Johnny Carson. And if you happen to get on one of his shows and do well, you were an overnight sensation. And the same is true with Ed Sullivan. If you went on the Sullivan Show one time and did well, everybody in America knew who you were.
And, of course, in the Carson Show, they would say that if he ever brought you over to the desk, yeah, that's when you really hit it. Yeah. Did that happen to you?
Oh, yeah. I was brought over to the desk, and I stole it. No. with Ed Sullivan, if he liked you and booked you a lot, boy, everybody got to know you, you know. And that was an important show to do, even though when I first went on, my first time in Ed Sullivan show, he said, ladies and gentlemen, we have here a young comic who is coming to us from beautiful downtown Canada, making his very, very first appearance here on our show. Would you welcome out a U.S. welcome for Little Richard? That's the way I get introduced to the Ed Sullivan show. Little Richard.
You probably lost it when
Lost it. I came out like a deer in the headlights. I was dumbfounded. And Ed stood there. I was hoping he'd go backstage. Remember he used to stand on the edge of the stage and watch? Uh-huh. I was saying, go away so somebody can tell you my name. And so when he finished, I finished my bit, which I didn't have much confidence in it. But then I realized if I bombed, they'd blame Little Richard, not me. Anyway, when I finished my bit, he said, thank you, Little Richard. So he came to my dressing room when it was over. He said, I want to apologize for what happened out there. I said, well, never mind, Ed, it's not important. Oh, yes, it is. It was written on the card wrong. It said Little Richard. But I knew who you were, Tiny. I really did.
258-KRUI, 1-877-396-W105. The legendary Rich Little in studio. And we're promoting his appearance at Spencer Theater in two shows, September 25 and 26. And you can call today and talk about tickets with the Spencer Theater. And here's the phone number, 888-818-7872. Let's go to Sarah. Hey, Sarah, talk to Rich Little.
Hi, Mr. Little. How are you doing?
Hi, Sarah. How are you?
I'm doing just fine.
Good.
I was wondering, can you do a Carol Channing impersonation?
Yes. Do you like Carol Channing?
Well, I've heard of her. I've never seen her, but I've heard of her.
Carol Channing, yes. Do you know that a diamond is the hardest substance known to man, especially when he's trying to get it back?
How about Phyllis Diller?
Phyllis Diller, I can only do her to laugh, really.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thanks.
Thank you, Sarah. Imagine that, Phyllis Diller and Carol Channing. They're great friends, too. You know, I one time was walking through the Caesar's Palace. Carol and I had worked together, and we're going over to see a lounge act. And we're walking through the lobby of Caesar's Palace. She was all made up, you know, with the hair and the lipstick and the rouge and everything. And some guy stopped us and said, I've seen impressions of Carol Channing. I've seen Lacage. I've seen all these gay shows, and you're the best Carol Channing I've ever seen. Where are you from, Mac? She said, I'm a truck driver from Toledo. And he said, oh, I tell you, makeup man's a great guy. So carry on. You know, this guy thought it was a guy in drag and it was the real character.
Rodney Dangerfield.
Hey, what can I tell you? You know, they put me in this radio station. I don't know where the hell I am. All I look around is see fir trees, for God's sake.
How do you...
Where's the Walmart?
How do you, all just like a snap, get into character like that? It must be incredibly difficult.
Well, I've been doing it for so long, you know.
I told my wife, I said, when you go to the supermarket, only bring back things that are marked down. She brought back an escalator.
Walter Cronkite.
Walter Cronkite, one of the great voices of all time. And back in the 60s, when I was on radio, if you're going to read the news, which all disc jockeys, as we called them then, did, you would do your show and you'd also read the news. Well, I'm not a newsman, so I would usually do it as Walter Cronkite or David Brinkley. I would read the news as David Brinkley and pretend that David was really reading it. And if I screwed up, which I did, I blamed it on David Brinkley.
258-KRUI, 1-877-396-W105. Hey, Mel.
Hey, it's Mr. Little. It sounds like you keep the personalities with you more than just the voices. And do you ever talk to yourself? You know, like when you get cut off in traffic or trying to remember the list at the grocery store in different characters?
Oh, yeah. I do that all the time. I'm always working on new routines, and the best place is in the car because with the windows closed, nobody can hear you. And I'm sure many people drove by going, why is that man talking to himself? You know, I would rehearse Jimmy Stewart in the car, too. And I'd do the whole play in the car driving. And remember one day somebody cut me off and I opened the window and I yelled at him as Jimmy Stewart. Wait a second. What do you think? What do you think you're going there? I got the right of way here. And they said, who are you? I'm Jimmy Stewart. Watch out where you're driving, you know. So the woman probably went home and said, oh, I cut off a guy out of the highway today. Well, who was it? It was Jimmy Stewart. Wait a minute. He's dead, you know.
What a thrill it is to have Rich Little in studio. 258-KRUI, 1-877-396-W105. This is New Mexico in the Morning. New Mexico in the Morning, all over southeast New Mexico and west Texas. And what a thrill it is to have Rich Little in the studio doing a little Frank Sinatra.
Hey, baby, Scooby-Dooby-Doo, man.
You never hear as many impersonators as back in the 70s. I mean, it really was an art that you will be known for creating.
Well,
in broadcasting.
We had a lot more back then than we have today. I mean, we had Frank Gorshin, who was a little ahead of me, George Kirby. We had a lot of female impersonators. Sheila McRae, Debbie Reynolds did voices. Louise Duart was excellent. Today you've got, you did have Danny Gans, and he unfortunately passed away. Fred Travellino, who was excellent, he passed away. I'm telling you, I'm not buying any green bananas, but... it's sad, of course, when that happens, because they're friends of mine and great impersonators. But Gordy Brown is pretty good, if you know who he is.
But the comedy today on, say, Conan O'Brien or Letterman, right, is different comedy. And it's your comedy was clean,
yeah,
first of all. And then B, I guess they have to be obscure or strange for it to be funny these days.
Well, it's a cheap shot if you want to be blue or, you know, be gross. You know, the kids seem to say, oh, yeah, that's our kind of humor, that's funny. But you know what? There is taste.
Yeah.
You know, if you can be funny with an audience and really make them laugh, and it's not, you know, risque, you really achieve something, you know. But look at all the great comics, Jack Benny and George Burns and all those great guys back then.
What great compensation
to make an
audience laugh.
They never said anything blue.
No, never. It's class all the way, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
And not so much today. Like the other day, they had on the Conan O'Brien show, because I'm going to watch it and see what he's going to do. He had a baby on a fishing pole. I mean, I didn't understand what the comedy was there. You know, it's just not like it used to be.
A baby on a fishing pole?
Yeah, and that was supposed to be funny.
Hmm. Not for the baby.
Yeah. Is this Greg? Hi, Greg.
Hello, Mr. Keith Lee and Mr. Little.
Hello.
Yes.
Hey, I'm about the same age as old Tim there, and I grew up watching you on the Tonight Show with my mom and dad. And
yeah,
I just remember you from being a little kid. And I'd sure love to get my mom and dad some tickets so they could go watch you.
Oh, that'd be great.
Well, you
got to
buy them today, brother.
Buy them today.
Oh, you're buying them today?
Well, a lot of people are. They're going to get the jump on it, you know?
What was your favorite voice of all time that Rich Little performed?
Oh, probably what he's been doing already, some John Wayne and Jimmy Stewart.
Yeah, great. Great.
Thank you very much, Greg. I appreciate your call.
Thanks, Greg. I hope you come.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, 258-KRUI, 1-877-396-W105. This show is going to sell out, and these two shows.
So do call in, and to do that, it's 888-818-7872. Call the theater and come see Rich Little.
This will be the single greatest performance at Spencer Theater in its history, in my mind.
Oh, I believe so. And certainly the greatest kickoff we've had since our grand opening with Dave Brubeck and his quartet and orchestra and all the rest we did. It was a big hoo-ha.
I had another question for you.
Sure.
The cartoons, the Looney Tunes, that had so much, made all of us, when we were growing up, we enjoyed those old voices. Did you ever use those to hone your craft?
Not many. I didn't do that many. I wish I'd done more cartoons. I did a few for Hanna-Barbera. And you see, what I would do, I'd take a well-known person I was impersonating and just change it to make it somebody you didn't recognize. You know, I actually ended up doing school teachers of mine. And I did, and on one show, they wanted a befuddled little mayor of a town, and I did the former Prime Minister of Canada, which is kind of funny.
Laurel and Hardy.
Oh, I love Laurel and Hardy. They were the best of the best of the best. Well, here's another nice mess you've got me into. Well, I didn't mean to. I thought when we ordered a soda, I was going to drink one half and you were going to drink the other half. Well, I know, but my half was on the bottom.
258-KRUI, 1-877-396-W105. Hi, Craig.
Hi, how y'all doing today?
Good, Craig. Say hi to Rich Little.
Hi, how Craig. You doing, Mr. Little?
How are you, Craig? What you doing? What you up to?
Just doing a little work.
That's the spirit.
Listen to you when I was a young boy.
Oh, boy. Well, so did I.
Yeah, I used to love the way you done the presidents and all.
Yeah.
But I was wondering, did you ever do any country music stars?
Well, yeah. I'm not a huge country western fan, but I certainly did Johnny Cash, and Willie Nelson I adored, and I did a few others. I did Randy Travis. I could do him, and a couple others. Yeah.
About so, Mel Tillis.
Mel Tillis? No. Mel Tillis took too long. Mel Tillis one time told me he had a conversation with Jimmy Stewart, and he'll never do it again. It was 4 hours.
Have a good day, Craig.
Thanks.
All right, thank you.
All right, 258-KRUI, 1-877-396-W105. Let me give you the dates again. Rich Little, September 25th, 26th. Two performances at the Spencer Theater. Mark is in HOBBS America. Good morning, Mark. How are you?
Good morning, Tim. Good morning, Mr. Little.
Good morning.
I just called to say thank you for all your years of service to America.
Oh, thank you. Well, you know, I did two USO tours, and it's one of the proudest things I ever did in my career. And those soldiers are they're heroes, and they're terrific guys. And when I went over to Italy last year and performed at Christmas time for them, they're all in their 20s, and some even younger than that. And they all screamed at my show. They laughed at everything. And then I'd say to some of them later, well, did you know who I was impersonating? And they'd say, no, not one single person. But boy, are you funny.
You are, sir. You are very, very funny. You made America laugh at times when they needed to laugh.
Yeah, that's great.
We appreciate it.
Well, that's I'm blessed to have been able to do that. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark. 258-KRUI, 1-877-396-W105. Orson Welles?
Orson Welles. I will drink no wine until it's time. Orson Welles. I always said that if Orson Welles and Raymond Burr had a conversation in Malibu, they would start a rock slide.
Let's go to Russell. Hi, Russell. How are you today?
I'm doing fine. How are you, gentlemen?
Good. What a thrill it is to have Rich Little, huh, Russell?
Yes, sir.
Hi, Russell.
Hey, I was just wondering if he ever made any appearances on the Hollywood Square show.
Oh, many, many, many times.
Yeah, I thought so.
I wasn't a regular, but I was on, out of a season, maybe 30, 40 times.
Yeah. Paul Lynn made that show in the 70s.
Oh, Paul Lynn was hysterical. We used to laugh so hard. I remember sitting up in one of the top squares, and because of Paul, I peed myself. And Rose Marie was sitting under me. I think she drowned. But Paul was hysterical. Even when he was tipsy, he was quite a drinker, you know. But he would come out with those one-liners. Paul, can you get an elephant drunk?
Oh, sure, but you'll never get it up to your apartment.
Paul, in preparing chicken tetrazzini properly, you should always remove something from the chicken first. What is it?
The rooster.
Oh, yeah, he had us on the floor. We used to walk out of there total wrecks after that show.
258-KRUI, 1-877-396-W105. Let's go to Dave. Hi, Dave.
How you doing?
Good. Say hi to Rich Little.
Hi, Dave.
How you doing, sir?
Good.
Good. I was wondering, do you know how to impersonate Jerry Lewis?
Jerry Lewis?
Huh? Well, sort of, but, you know, it's not a blockbuster. Do you like Jerry Lewis?
Yeah.
Dean, I don't understand. Would you shut up, Jerry? I'm trying to talk here. I know, but we got to go, you know? I mean, Jerry was the total opposite to Dean.
That's what made that team.
That's what broke them up, really, because Jerry was so off the wall. And Dean just wanted to shoot it and go play golf.
Yeah. Did you do the Dean Martin show?
I did the Dean Martin show. I did the Rose and the Dean Martin show. And I did the Jerry Lewis show, too, once.
And what was Dean like? They say that he would just show up, have a cocktail, and
that's
it was all
right.
Just...
Dean would just show up, you know, before the show was going to start and say, hey, baby, what are we doing? Where do I stand? What do I have to do? And the director would just tell him where to go. And he would do the show, and the actors were performing with him when they're taping it for the first time because they never saw him at a rehearsal. And sometimes Dean would be standing in the wrong place, and he screwed it up. But that's what made Dean a big star, and people liked him, was when he did screw up the cue cards and he did go off the script, people thought it was wonderful.
Carol Burnett show the same way.
Yeah. The ad-libs were incredible on Carol Burnett.
Harvey Korman.
Yeah. Those guys could ad-lib like you wouldn't believe. They break themselves up.
Why don't we have the talent that we had back then? I mean, we have reality shows, boring television these days. Yeah. Why was it such a golden era?
Well, one thing, variety was popular back then. It wasn't as expensive to do. It'd be 10 times the expense to put on a variety show today. There are trends, that we go through where people, one minute they like, ER, and the next minute my wife's watching how to fix that house, and then, or the nanny, and you say to yourself, where did these shows come from? Who dreamed this up, It's a different television world today.
Do you have comedy albums that are available?
Yeah.
How do we get a hold of those?
Richlittle.com.
Richlittle.com. It's that simple.
Yep.
Richlittle.com. You just ship them and there you go.
I've done about 20 or 30 albums. I did the first one on Ronald Reagan called The First Family Rides Again. I've got a new DVD coming out on how to be an impersonator. That's been put together, and I also have a book coming out. I wrote a book that is going to be published and released, I think, by the end of the year. It's called Little by Little, People I Have Known and Been. That's the name of it.
Well, it's going to be a bestseller.
Well, there's a lot of stories in it.
Have you done Larry King?
I'd like to. I'd like to hit him right. No, I haven't done Larry. Yes, I'm putting you on. I have done Larry King. Yeah.
I would think
I've never been able to master his voice, though.
Really?
No. So I probably he doesn't have me on.
The hardest celebrities to master, would you say?
Ooh, let's see. I don't think many people are doing. Well, some of the new stars are pretty hard. How do you imitate Brad Pitt?
You know? It's no personality.
I don't know.
Personalities don't show where you can do it.
Well, their voices aren't that distinctive. Right. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. See, in the 40s and the 50s, the actors were good actors, but they also had personalities, and they were larger than life. I'm not saying that Brad Pitt isn't larger than life. He can be, but voice isn't recognizable. You know, how do you do Tom Hanks, too, you know?
Go to the moon for me, Jackie Gleason.
Jackie Gleason?
Yeah.
You're a riot, Alice. You're a riot, Alice. Bam, zoom. You're going to the moon.
Hey there, Ruffy boy. What's going on there, Ruff?
Would you shut up, Norton?
We'll be right back with Rich Little.
How sweet it is.
Oh, man. It's such a cool thing to have you in the studio. 258 KRUI 1-877-396-W105. This is New Mexico in the Morning. New Mexico in the Morning, the legendary Rich Little, who was performing at Spencer Theater in the fall, September 25 and 26, telephoned the Spencer Theater, talk about tickets at 888-818-7872. Two shows that will sell out. He is doing an inaugural play that he wrote about the legendary Jimmy Stewart. When you did Nixon, did you ever do Nixon for Nixon?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I nearly got thrown out of the country. I nearly had to go back to Canada.
He didn't understand?
Well, no, I was at a garden party. This was before Watergate, when things were a little happier. And I was down at down San Clemente at a sort of a show business luncheon. Meaning a lot of big stars were there. Gosh, John Wayne was there, Glenn Ford was there, Glenn Campbell, Jack Benny, George Burns, they were all there. And Debbie Reynolds, knowing I did Nixon, grabbed my hand and threw me around the swimming pool. And Nixon was talking to somebody, and Debbie said, "Mr. President, Rich Little's going to do you." Now, that could mean I'm going to shoot him. But, so he turned around very fast. And he said,
"What for?"
And, well, he does an impression of you. What, could you do it? Could he do it for you? Now, at this point, everybody's starting to gather around. I see all these big names gathering around. And I thought, oh, my God, this is going to be embarrassing, right? So, and then I thought to myself, well, there's a few lines in my club act I can't use. Yeah, he'd take offense, a little strong. So I kind of watered it down, and I...
Mr. Nixon, let me make this perfectly clear. I certainly have enjoyed this little soiree that you put on here this afternoon.
And I looked at Nixon, and I realized as I'm talking, he doesn't know who I'm doing. He has no idea who I'm doing.
He didn't get the joke.
And I'm carrying on like this. Let me make this perfectly clear.
And he turned to his wife, Pat, and I could hear him say, "Why is this young man speaking in this strange voice?" And she said, "It's Rich Little, honey. He's imitating you."
He's doing me? Well, it doesn't sound like me.
And everybody said, "Oh, it does. Yes, it does." And then they gagged themselves, realizing they were contradicting the president. And then when I got to some jokes, Nixon didn't laugh at all. And people standing around, the celebrities, they were gagging themselves. They were trying not to laugh. They were turning away. George Burns told me later, he said, I was so embarrassed I ate a flower. And finally John Wayne said, "Somebody get a rope." You know. Glenn Ford said, "Rich, you better go back to Canada. You're washed up here."
And then finally Ronald Reagan.
Well, yes, Reagan. Well, I would do Reagan in front of him many times. And
he got the joke all day.
Well, not really. What happened was I would do him in front of him, and he would fall down on the floor, screaming with laughter once Nancy explained the jokes to him. The trouble with Ronald Reagan was, like Bob Hope, the same.
they couldn't hear. Their hearing was terrible. And so, with Reagan particularly, I would throw a line, nothing, and then I would start the next joke, and he would now be laughing at the last one.
Rich Little, legendary Rich Little, comes to Spencer Theater, 25th, 26th. It's been our pleasure to have you on the radio today.
Thank you for inviting me.
What a thrill it's going to be to see you in performing at the Spencer Theater.
Well, a lot of nice people phoned up, you know, and they didn't ask me to do Lassie or anything like that.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for your time.
My pleasure. Looking forward to coming back and think this is a marvelous community.
KRUI Rideau Sedans, KWW Mount Mark, KTUM Tatum, Kedem and Tatum, where it's 10 o'clock.